It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast.
The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Lads and ladies, it's the 42nd edition of the Two Johnnies Podcast, coming to you from our HQ in County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we are asking if Johnny B and Johnny Smacks were school teachers, what subjects would we add to the curriculum?
You'll find him in the Shamrock Lounge or on the sideline, but Noel Furlong will be in later with a little bit of news.
She's wrecked from the tie show, but she's still here. Maureen is in the house and she'll have her mystery topic.
With hurling and camogie getting UNESCO recognition, we debate what are the greatest sporting events in the world.
And we finish the podcast like we always do with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just through the chair there, if I could say, Cat, last week's podcast mug winner, got in touch to say, lads, pure delighted I am. Tell that non-believer, non-Tipperary person, aka Mara, that my phone simply fell while I was starting to undress, okay? This is the woman, her phone, she was listening to it and then it came out and the whole dressing room heard it.
Yeah, and then there was the bit of not Noel going and say, I need to go for a shite.
Fair enough. Also, John Lahey is some legend. Love the interview. Thanks again for the mug. Even though my daughter was shitting a brick about what I had to do to win it, she is half of Maynooth University listening to it every week.
Brilliant stuff. And PF2506 on Snapchat says,
who is a robot. He says,
Unidentified.
I loved him in Star Wars. Here, go on.
So he said, at least, he said, it could be a girl, we're not too sure. At least, he said, anyway, at least Blind Boy has his podcast up first thing in the morning. Not like ye two prick teases. I'm checking every hour of a Monday to see when it goes up. You're as bad as the wife rubbing off me and then turning around saying she's not in the mood.
So much love for John Lahey on last week's pod. Emer said, absolutely loved your interview with John today on hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. Such an important topic that needs to be talked about more. I don't think people realise how much addiction affects not only the person, but the people around the person.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point. Pat Mack on Snapchat said, wow, best podcast yet, boys. John Lahey interview was absolutely powerful and topped off nicely with mysterious girl cover. Class job, ye tree.
Abigail on Twitter said, Noel is in no doubt furious about Ballybrack FC stealing his idea of faking players' deaths. Good old John Foley is alive and well. That's right, yeah. Johnny Foley died in one of Noel's news episodes a few months ago.
Yeah.
And he wasn't dead at all.
He wasn't dead at all. Ballybrack got the idea from Noel, I'd say. It's a crazy story during the week as well. Yeah. In all fairness, like some fellas working in a bacon factory up in Galway and he sees in the paper he's dead.
Just to get a soccer match off.
Just to get the ad. Hey, killing all are at that for years, lad.
Years, lad.
On the topic of living with parents, Connor said, I'm 21 next month and the mother still cuts the toenails. And one night I was getting them done and the brother took a snaky picture and now every year it's shown up on Facebook for the birthday. Hard to explain to any female what's happening in the picture. In relation to the pod, keep her lit.
What's your mother at? Fiona on Snapchat said, well, Smacks, just listen to podcast 41, fair play. On the topic of house sharing, I'm living with three strangers this year for my last year of college. And two of us in particular get on like a house on fire on a personal level. But as it goes, she's a shite housemate. She rarely cleans up after herself in a reasonable kind of time or does any of the communal tasks like brush the floor or take the bins. And has gone as far as to go home for the weekends and leave her dirty dishes lying in the sink. Despicable!
That's wicked.
So I end up doing them because I couldn't be looking at them all weekend. What's worse is we share a lot of the kitchen stuff in the house. So what she leaves lying around dirty and stained, it isn't even hers. Now, on top of that, the last 2 days I've been distracted with my work because of the loud music coming from her room. Oh, she's usually grand on that front, but has decided to pick the last week of college exams to buy a new speaker and sing along with it. Am I wrong to be giving out about the noise, given that it's only like 7 in the evening and I could go study in the library if I don't like it, and it's not like it's happening at 3 in the morning or anything? Or should I have a word, given that she's living with a load of fourth-year students and should know, even if she's not busy or stressed, that the rest of us are? Any thoughts on inconsiderate housemates would be really appreciated. I feel like it's so much worse when there's sound.
Why is she booming music over the speaker? Has she not heard the headphones? That would wreck my head a bit now. And the dirty dishes.
Maybe she's like you singing in the mirror.
Yeah, but I sing in the mirror with earphones too. Like,
I thought you were going to say that was me when I was 15, but no, he doesn't.
No, I still do it. Mounting along to Wannabe by the Spice Girls, looking in the mirror.
You got to talk to your housemates if they're annoying you.
Yeah, especially
have if they're mates. Like, yeah. Hey, lad.
Yeah, when you used to leave all your dirty dishes around. Yeah. Like,
Frank the Tank's first man to say to me, "Hey, lad, you had bran flakes in the morning, lad. You have to wash them plates, lad. They go hard as a rock, lad."
That's what he said.
"I had to fuck all the plates out the window after you. See them balls, lad. Sort that out, like."
Absolutely ruined your bran flakes. Gone rock hard like cement in it.
And then he'd come home for lunch and he'd eat crackers and red sauce.
Yeah, he was... Oh.
Like, that was his sandwich. Crackers and red sauce and cans of Lucozid. Need the energy, lad.
On a side note, Frank the Tank, I seen him eating a chicken curry from the Chinese and putting red sauce on it. Animal. An animal of a man. Right, back to the comments, lads.
Woo!
Stephen on Insta said, "Lads, just in relation to this week's topic on the pros and cons of moving back home, I'll call this story all tied up. I have a friend who will remain anonymous who, after college, moved in with his auntie, an elderly granny. Brackets, the auntie does everything for him, whereas his ma is the opposite, so he knew what he was at. Anyway, he starts going out with a girl, and it must have been for about 6 months because the girlfriend would have been round regularly enough and also because you wouldn't be at what I'm about to tell you on the first day. So the girlfriend's round one day and they're in the room at the business." Business. "When next thing, the auntie lands home and into the room looking for something. He's the girlfriend tied to the bed. With the work ties going flat to the tin. And the worst about the whole thing is the granny is bedbound a couple of doors down." Wild crack. Lads, the poor granny is bedbound and your man is hammering the guts out of her.
Yeah, but like, how alert was his granny? Was she kind of like in a coma, or she just got a bad hip and can't get out of the bed? She's like, "Thomas, shut up."
She was down there pressing the emergency alarm.
"Here come phone watch, kick the door down. Your man going hammering tongs.
Dad are tied up." That's crazy.
Ray said, "By the lads, just listened to your podcast there and was in stitches. I can really relate to when Johnny Smacks talks about the mammy having all access to the house. The hot press was located in my room growing up. So mammy used to burst into my room to put the clothes away. Long story short, she burst in on me once when I was in an awkward position. From there on, she used to give a warning by pretending to have the black lung while coming up the stairs.
Put away your Mickey.
The poor woman had to deal with my cardboard sheets on the regular." Lad, negative waves.
Yeah, it's like washing the bran flakes, man. You gotta do it quicker, it'll set. It'll go hard.
A lot of negativity there. And he loves it and can't wait to see us in Limerick. And says, "P.S. Hon Maury, good thing."
Hey. Conal was onto us on Facebook. such an apt name. "Well, Johnny's and Mara, on your topic of living at home, when I was about 18, 19, I was shifting this girl from our area. I knew the family well, as my parents and hers were quite friendly. One night, after a few too many, we decided to go back to her parents' house for a bit of you know yourself. We decided best to stay downstairs on the sofa so nobody would hear us. Well, how wrong we were. Because the girl didn't announce herself home, her mother came down to see what the noise was, opened the door and closed it just as quick as I was pulling up the jeans. The following morning, her older brother, who I was playing hurling with at the time, he dropped me home, and as I got out of the car, he said, 'Here, lad, my mother said she hopes you wrapped up that yoke last night.' I just said, 'Yeah, lad, sound.' We're still friends, and at her brother's wedding a few years ago, her mother said it to me, 'I wish you had stayed in our sofa more often, young fella.' Mortified." "Love the pod, looking forward to the Christmas party." That's crazy.
Ryan from Antrim said, "Lads, just came out of a Hooters bar in Virginia and jumped into the car and had the podcast and the rendition of Mysterious Girl. He loved it. He listened to it 3 or 4 times in a row before he got back to the digs."
Unreal. Shane on Insta said, "Well, lads, 2 weeks ago I went to Canada for work. In the airport by myself, dressed smartly because I was going straight to meeting a client. Got upgraded to business class for free. Happy days. Sitting across from Ivan, the boneless from Vikings. After a meal, I put on a podcast that a friend of mine recommended. Listening to Noel going on about Carney's dog, and a flight attendant asked, 'Am I okay?' because I couldn't talk with the laughter. Getting off the plane, your man from Vikings asked me what I was listening to. I tried to explain to this Danish Viking about these two mad bastards from Tip. Safe to say, I'll never get a free upgrade again. The person he's referring to, Shane, is actor Alex Hawk Anderson, who has 1 million followers on Instagram. He should have fucking properly explained it. Your man might share the old podcast
yeah.
with his million followers. We'll be huge now out in Denmark. So who's going to get the Noah's News mug, lads, which is kindly sponsored by HairyBaby.com, where you can buy loads of Two Johnny's merchandise.
That's right. Thanks to Hairy Baby for sponsoring and designing the beautiful Noah's yeah. News mug. I want to give it to your man who made Ivan the Terrible, or else the fellow with the cardboard sheets. Who are you feeling?
I like the cardboard sheets. Not like that.
Is that what you had him, lad?
Yeah. Yeah, I had him in college for around 6 months. You break the duvet in half. I like him.
Okay. Cool, cool. Yeah. And can I just say, there, Ian, a guy won, who won a mug previously in the podcast. I can't find your contact details anywhere, so could you send them in again so we can get the mug sent out to you? So,
thanks, Ian. Okay.
Brilliant. So Rhea wins the mug.
This week, Johnny, what have we been up to this week?
What's been going on in Two Johnny's Land this week? A very busy week, Johnny. We kicked it off by, we done an old turn on the Christmas lights kind of job, announced Christmas is coming to Tipperary. Involved us meeting Santa.
Great honour to be asked to turn on the Christmas lights in a town. And we were up on stage. Obviously, you can't turn on Christmas lights without an open side truck. That's Tipperary. And on comes Santy in the back of a car. The squad car in front of him.
It was the first time I seen Santa come in a convertible. An Opel convertible.
And the best thing about Santy is that he had a Waterford accent. That's just the magic of Christmas. So Smack says to him, do you think Johnny B is on the good boy list? Ho, 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 yeah, go away, boy, yeah. And then I was like, Santy, you came in a car. Where are the reindeer? And he's like, oh, I gave Rudolph and all the boys the day off, yeah. And then he was trying to think of the names of the reindeer. And I was like, Blitzen. Yeah, Blitz or him too, yeah.
So it was a fantastic experience to meet Santy. There was a point, all right, where I thought about throwing him off the truck, if I'm perfectly honest. He had this bell and he kept ringing at my ear, like shaking it, ding, 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 right in my ear. And he's like, you're very quiet, boy. I was like, Santy, stop ringing the bell in my ear, pal. But it was great. That was the start of the week. And I put up the Christmas tree.
Yeah. All we had this week was a half day off.
Mm.
And he put up his Christmas decorations. You broke, lad.
I just broke. It was still November when I put them up. I know. It's against the rules. And like I got sent a picture and it was like, for every time a person puts up their Christmas decorations before December, an elf dies. Yeah. So I'd like to apologise.
Hope you're happy.
To all elves out there.
What happened? You cleaned the house and then the house was clean, so they were going up.
That's the thing with putting up the decorations. It's kind of like, before you put them up, you've got to clean everything. The house has to be shining. And then I said, look, I have the house clean. Just get them up, get them out of the way. Like, so got it done. You climbed the mountain.
I climbed the Devil's Bit. Very good, I'd recommend it. It's fairly steep. I was up in about, an hour and a half. It's there near Temple Moor, technically in Drumminch. You know the old story? The divil took a big bite out of Drumminch and he didn't like it, so he spat it out and it landed, and that's the Rock of Cashel. That's the story now. But the Drumminch boys...
And if you believe that...
The Drumminch boys would be known to talk the Bittine's gutter. So, very enjoyable. And we went on Dermot and Dave, we're on Today FM promoting our new tour. And we launched the tour, lad. What are you talking about,
go away.
Fucking decorations. We launched the tour. Get loose.
Yeah, so the tour was announced on Tuesday and tickets went on sale on last Friday. And there is still tickets left.
There's the reaction.
Unreal.
First of all, there was a good 1,000 people messaged us in saying, how do I buy tickets?
Yeah, fabulous. So
obviously people who've never been to a gig before, but we're delighted you're coming to our show. The best thing is to go on to twojohnnies.ie because, see, when you're doing theatres, Ticketmaster gets some and then the theatre keeps some themselves. Mm. So I think it's in like Cork and Waterford and that, like, all the Ticketmaster allocation is gone. So if you go on Ticketmaster to buy our tickets, it looks sold out.
Yeah.
But there's actually some left on the venue. Yeah. So the handiest thing is go on to twojohnnies.ie. Yeah. Well, you get tickets, merchandise. There's still those naked pictures of Johnny Smacks.
Yeah, they're
getting a big reaction.
Big reaction online, yeah. They're right up there with Kim Kardashian's Mexico pics. So, get on to twojohnnies.ie. Get your tickets, lads. We're coming all around the country and we want to see you there. We also hosted our local Strictly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fucking some crack.
Some crack.
So it's fair good to be home, lads. There's nowhere like home. Like, place where people won't laugh at you because this Pure spite.
We got our revenge last night. We abused everyone.
Yeah.
All from the word go.
Oh, that, and we could go at last night. We went at it, but it was a great night. Some fantastic people dancing.
You can probably hear our little horse.
Yeah, it's a voice getting croaky now.
Small bit of a late night.
Might have been a late night last night, in fairness. But yeah, we host our local Tricky. So busy week, and a busy week next week as well.
I'm buzzing for Whelan's, lad.
Yeah.
I'm like a child of Christmas now. I can't sleep with the thought of Whelan's.
Yeah, it's getting close, and it's great to be doing a music gig.
This is my All-Ireland now, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, full-on music, lad. Yeah. This is like, I feel like a competition winner. You know what I mean? I'll be standing on the stage just going, this is some crack. So, really looking forward to that. A lot of surprises on the night. It's going to be tropic.
Yeah, so. I feel like your name was pulled out on Winning Streak one day.
Yeah, 100%. I'm living somebody else's life here.
And the man who gets to sing in Whelan's is...
Yes! Johnny Smacks, thank you. All right, lads, busy week and a busy week next week. Keep up to date with us on the social media. You'll see everything there.
Now.
Topic number one.
Now,
get loose. Topic number one. Two teaching unions have voted against accepting government proposals aimed at sorting out the pay gap for the new entrants to teaching, raising the possibility of teachers going on strike. If this was to happen and the government needed to call in members of the public to teach, would the two Johnnies be up for the job and what would we teach? I always wanted to be a teacher. That was what I had planned in school.
Why didn't you go for teaching?
Sure. I fucked up the Leaving Cert because I was playing County Minor at the time.
What, you don't get automatically into teaching once you've played County
Minor?
No,
and I thought you did. I just thought like, I'll get an old handy job now or something.
Is there not like a section, a box you can tick on your CSO form for County Minor, no?
Yeah, it's like IT University County Minor. It didn't happen. No, I wanted to be an Irish and history teacher.
Why?
I loved Irish and I loved history. And I wanted 3 months holidays a year. So, you know, you do the maths, lad. That's how it works. So
you didn't want to be an Irish historian. Like, why teaching, though?
In fairness, the money's not bad. The holidays are fairly good. And the day is short.
Yeah, but you have to deal with kids. Like, you hate kids.
I don't hate kids.
I'm joking.
I've just got a shorter fuse than you. I know, I just wanted to be a teacher and it just never happened. Now, I could have repeated the Leaving Cert. But, you know, I was fond of having the crack.
Someday your dreams will come true.
Yeah, I'd love to go back to the school now. I'd actually love to be like, I don't know, dealing with little, do you know, little fuckers, like, who get in trouble and stuff, like, and then you have to straighten them out. What's that called?
Like a guidance counsellor.
Yeah, that's what, I should be a guidance counsellor. Like, which is ironic because when I was in school and visiting the guidance counsellor, she was like, what do you want to be? You know, what are you planning on doing after? I'd be a soccer player. No, she was like, you're 17, get a fucking grip. You're not going to be a soccer player. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know if you ask a 7-year-old, like, what do you want to be? They're like, ah, soccer player. I want to play for Real Madrid. And then your mom's like, what do you want to do? I was like, ah, I want to be a soccer player. She's like, you're 17. You've got a beer belly. You're not going to be a professional soccer player. I was like, cheers for dashing my dreams. I'll be a rock star. So,
did you actually say in the run up to your Leaving Cert, what do you want to be? I want to be a soccer player.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of half done it for the crack, like, but. In my mind then, I still thought, like, I might go over to a Liverpool match someday. You know, and might be short an old player, just slot in or something, banging a hat-trick.
Ride a Rovers.
Yeah, ride a Rovers thing, like, so.
To bring your boots to the game.
But imagine if I said to guidance counsellor, I want to be a comedian. She'd have been like, yeah, get a grip.
No, it's more believable than a soccer player.
Maybe so. Maybe so. That's the problem now, lads. You have to dream. But that's what I would like to be. I'd love to be a guidance counsellor now. So if this all goes tits up, I'll probably go back and try that.
Okay, so things that we would put on the curriculum that aren't taught in school. First thing I've got on my list, driving.
Why?
That is a good idea, yeah.
Loads of people drive. Loads of people are cat at driving. There's loads of crashes. And have you ever seen people trying to park?
Parallel parking.
Oh.
I'm horrendous.
Come on.
I do that thing of parallel parking where, like, I drive up to the space, attempt to back in, and they get really frustrated and drive off and just go, do you know what, I'll just park it down the road.
He does
I do that all the time. Start sweating and shouting at him then, I'm in here, that I'm in here, will you tell me, am I in enough? Just be like, oh, do you know what, park somewhere else. Just have an absolute meltdown.
Yeah, people are cat driving. They don't know the rules of the road, always in the wrong lanes and roundabouts and all that.
Yeah, I would I'd bring in tax. Do you know what I mean? I'd show people how to file their tax returns.
Yeah,
it's seriously tough. Like, we teach kids algebra. Mm.
But not the situations in which to use it.
Yeah, whereas, like, you need to be shown things that actually you might come across in your lifetime. You know, if you're working, if you're self-employed, odds are you're not going to be doing algebra. Mm. Whereas you will be filing your tax returns, you will be doing your VAT.
How to dodge tax?
You see, that's a good one.
That's probably an.
I don't want to incriminate.
No. You don't dodge tax. You avoid paying unnecessary tax.
Yes.
Yeah. To reduce your tax.
Yeah. How do you legally reduce your tax bill?
Jimmy Carr style.
Yeah.
Donald Trump style.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Apple. Oh, sure. Everyone's that.
Yeah.
Except us fools paying tax.
Another thing I would like to teach lads in school, not that I would be any good at it, but I think it should be taught in school, is approaching the opposite sex.
You mean like player?
Like how to talk to people.
Yeah.
Right? This matters.
Communication then.
I feel like this is going to affect your life more than Pythagoras' theorem.
Yes.
Okay?
100%.
We know a lot of lads. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Can't talk to girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
me included.
Yeah, you know. But is it more important than like what you're in school learning about, like erosion?
Yeah.
Bog slides.
Meanders in a river.
Yeah. Oxbow lakes.
You should be able to approach a girl and hold a conversation or...
Well, how are we getting on?
Yeah, but it's true, lad. You see a lot, and especially, I think it's worse down the country. The lads up in the city are kind of, you know, you might work in an open plan office and there's a few women and you just become used to it. Whereas the lads down the country, like, I seen it with the Strictly last night, like, the lads were saying, like, they went to the first rehearsal and your mom's like, hold hands. Oh, fucking hold hands with her now. You know, freaking out, like. Whereas, I think it's, with the city lads, it's a bit more integrated. So, but definitely, I'd agree with your point there.
How to politely approach the opposite sex with some degree of charm and...
You'd be like Ryan Gosling, lad, in Crazy Stupid Love.
Yeah.
That's, I love it.
You know, like shouting at girls, slapping them on the arse, all that. It's very wrong, lads.
Doesn't work, lads.
Yeah.
Except in Carlo.
Just chat to people, okay? Johnny, what's next on your list?
Coping 101.
What do you mean coping?
That would just be a class I'd bring in, just coping. Coping with life in general. No one's able to cope in Ireland. You know, we're all like, oh, I'm having a really tough time, you know, this and that. Do you know what I mean?
What?
Go
on.
Like, life management.
Okay.
How to cope with adversity. In Ireland, lads, we don't cope with adversity well.
What do we do?
Should people stay in bed and get depressed and stuff?
Yeah, well, some people have genuine depression, like.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think a lot of people just don't know how to cope with things going wrong, like.
Yeah, just freak out, like.
Yeah, would you agree with me in that, like?
Yeah, it depends on your situation, like, and what's happened to you. And
yeah, I just think it's probably not one for now, but I definitely think in Ireland, in general, people don't know how to cope with bad things happening to them. And that's how they spiral. Whereas if you've got these coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
Positivity.
Like if someone criticizes you and all.
Yeah.
How to process that.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, yeah. We know that well ourselves.
Yeah. How to take the rough with the smooth kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So coping 101 is what I'm going to call
it. It's true. Like the first time people insulted us on the internet, like, you actually take it to heart.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you have to realize that that's them projecting their opinions. And
exactly.
You know, same with being bullied. Like if you're in school and you're being bullied, it's nothing to do with you. It's the fella who's bullying is like massively insecure and probably has like a little wasp penis.
But 100%, that's what I'm saying. Like now it's like if someone passes something negative about us or says something, you don't even bat an eyelid now. Yeah. Whereas at the start, like, I'd be freaking out. Like, and then you think, like, you gotta think as well when you get something like that, a comment, you're thinking, somebody went to the bother,
yeah,
of like telling me I've got a shit jacket on or something. Like,
just keep swiping, lads. Yeah. Just keep scrolling.
Just get a grip.
Okay, nights out. Young people come out of school,
yeah,
drinking like fishes, and they're all falling down drunk. There needs to be some sort of course to teach lads to sip pints and not be falling down, not be making a show of yourselves. Some sort of taster course.
Find a beer that suits you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Educate lads on, because you're just, like some lad hits, he turns 17 or turns 18.
Yeah.
Now you're into the pub, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
The big thing you hear now, even like you might hear a 40-year-old man saying, I gave up the vodka last year. Didn't agree with me. Now he's 40. He'd probably been drinking vodka a long time before he realised he didn't agree with him. Like,
yeah.
Probably burnt the house down and was like, I better stop with the vodka, lads. I don't think it suits me.
I actually got one of them allergy tests done.
Well?
What do you call it? A kinesiologist, is it?
Yeah.
And she actually said, vodka don't suit you.
Go away.
Yeah. That's a fact.
You should probably stop drinking it then.
I've cut back.
Was that one of them kinesiology, like she'd be tapping your fucking head and stuff?
Yeah.
Ah, that's all I'll admit. Anyways.
We'll get back to that. I wouldn't teach that in school. But I would teach food and cooking.
I don't homemake now for the leaving cert.
Yeah, but did you learn how to cook practical stuff?
Bolognese and stuff.
You're doing flans and, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, souffles.
So,
I'm doing a souffle for me leaving.
Yeah, you lived in Waterford then, going to college in WIT.
Yeah.
How many souffles did you cook?
Souffles weren't big in Manor Village, lad.
There you go.
I gotta say, that is true, yeah.
And I mean like, healthy, cheap, easy to cook food. Mm. Teach all kids, and again, probably go through what kind of foods suit you, and, you know, different times of day to be eating different stuff, depending on your lifestyle and all that. But keeping healthy. Like, your health is more important, again, than Pythagoras' theorem, lad.
100%. 100%. And that's, like, you touched on it there with the cooking. Home ec is quite similar, but it's kind of more souffle, that kind of stuff you're learning about. You need to be cooking and sewing as well. Another big part of home ec.
Sewing buttons.
Yeah. You know, most fellas who are able to sew probably spent time in prison. That's where they learned how to sew. But it's fair handy. Do you know what I mean? Rip the old arse in your pants, sew it up.
Yeah, I actually ripped my suit dancing last night.
Yeah, there's a hole in the back of my jacket too.
Just throw that out there.
Johnny, what have you got on your list?
Drug education.
Oh.
As John Lahey touched on last week, I would educate all kids on the drugs, the makeup, where it comes from. Educate them more. There's not enough education out there. Mm. So why not just put it, have that actual class. Like, they have SPHE in school. Which is, you kind of sit down and say, now, you've a Mickey. And this is what happens to it, like.
That's not what it is.
I'm fairly sure, like, a lot of lads in the class realise they do have one, like, you know what I mean? Whereas, give them something like this that's actually worthwhile, and it's an education, and it's telling them of the perils of what's out there.
I think they should go through, like, some farmer in the mountains in Colombia, growing the coke.
Show them the whole way. See that Gordon Ramsay documentary?
No.
On cocaine. They should just show them that.
Why would it put you off it?
Yeah, it's crazy, like. Go mental. Ahead. Shows literally from plant to up some fella's nostril.
This is kind of a personal one. How far away to stand from somebody while talking to them?
This is a gripe with you anyway.
Close talkers. Do you ever have somebody talking to you and they're like up again you?
Yeah.
You'd be in a nightclub and you can actually feel their saliva hitting your ear.
Yeah, little, just tiny little drops, yeah.
That should be like just 10 minutes a week we'd probably do on that little refresher course. And how to cycle, right? Cycling bikes, I'm in favour, but the cyclists could brush up on the rules of the road. The roads down in Tipperary are not very cycle friendly, but still,
I feel like we're bashing cyclists every week in this podcast.
I love cycling.
Johnny loves it. Like, he went to Copenhagen and seen how they do it right, so now you're hell bent on getting it right here in Ireland.
Mara's not happy.
No, but you kind of touched on it there. Like, stop blaming the cyclists. Blame the lack of facilities. Government needs to sort it out.
More cycle lanes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah.
But them going through a roundabout with 20 of them abreast still ain't sitting well with me. Johnny.
I want to do a little quick one on culture class. Mm. Right? Couple of films they should watch and music they should listen to. Couple of recommendations. Give them an album a week, maybe.
Okay.
Because there's lads out there, you know, Friday night is like Nathan Carter and Fast and the Furious. I don't know what kind of society we're building. People inhaling that kind of stuff, okay? So
you want to educate them?
A little bit. And also maybe like a class on style/hygiene.
Yes, hygiene, lads.
Now, Johnny Smacks could take the style class. Just on hygiene, I want to say, I was in a wedding band for years. Mm. So I gave a lot of time in like pubs and hotels, not sober.
Yeah,
and I'd always go to the Jacks before the show, after the show. Every time, in every venue, a guy left the Jacks without washing his hands.
Oh, Jesus. Wow, that's filth.
It's got to be like 10% of the population at least doing it.
So we were saying that, like, we'd be in the Jacks going to Thailand, so a fella would be coming in trying to shake your hand, and you'd be like, oh man, you want to wait until I wash it anyway, at least.
Yeah.
To wrap this up, Johnny, do you think you'd be a good teacher?
I think you'd lose interest
very quickly.
Yeah.
Do you think I'd be a good teacher?
I think you think you'd be a good teacher.
Maura, would I be a good teacher?
I think I think you'd be a good teacher so long as the children were well behaved. I think if the children were well behaved, I would or not well behaved, I'd fear for their safety.
So I'd have to teach in a private school.
Sit down.
Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, but we're going to get on to the education system another day, but we like kids to try more new stuff.
Yeah.
Because they do it in transition year, but like, in my school, transition year was just for lads who like computers. Like,
yeah, I found transition year was good now.
Did you do it?
Yeah, I done transition year. And I learned a lot, like, went away to Ballybunion and I actually kind of came out of my shell a lot in transition year. I found that I broadened my horizons a bit. So our school done it right. It was well done. Now some schools just like send you on work experience for 6 months down to super value.
Yeah.
John, you're not going to learn much there. But
well, they should send lads to the factory in Roscrea.
Yeah. I tell you, they'll get an education then.
Yeah.
That is a fact. Great topic.
Anything else, lads, that you think we should add to the curriculum in school?
Let us know.
Yeah, let us know. Obviously, I'd have a crash course in hurling for everybody. Football.
With exams every week. All right, get in touch. Let us know what you'd like to bring to the curriculum. All right, everyone's favourite part of the week. He may be a sort of celebrity now, but not for all the tea in China would this man go into the jungle. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News! How long for that?
Well, Noel, it's good to have you back again this week.
Yeah.
Did you get your tickets for our new tour?
First good joke you ever told. Going into the jungle you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I bought a trailer in Carlo once. Close as I've been to the jungle. But you're going to like this one.
Oh, lovely.
This is a story now very close to your heart. It's about porn. Okay? Now, I was on KenyaWatch.com, fairly typical Friday night for me, and I read an article there written by Odipo Riaga, no relation, and he said, porn is one of the main causes of a corrupt society. Fact. Well, I tell you, Fianna Fáil must have been watching some amount of it, lads. Huh? I'll tell you that. There was fellas building houses in the middle of roundabouts. Not it, huh? The brown envelope was going in and out. They nearly changed their name to On Post. Fuck. So, he said the telcos should be forced to shut down porn sites. That's the telecommunication companies. I didn't know there was writing on the internet. No. I'd have been on it sooner. I thought it was just the old soccer results and bit of news and that, but apparently you can shop on the line too. But can you pay cash?
You can't pay cash, no.
On the line, no.
No.
That'd be a dose now. I see. I like doing the odd Nixer for cash. Or a Foxer, as they call it in Wexford. Do the old job on the side for cash.
Would the tax man not be after you, no?
Oh, fuck him. Does Carmel I be hiding it from? she's always on to me. Mother God. Oh, Noel, save a few pub for the grandkids. Oh, Noel, give some to the church gate collection. Oh, Noel, pay the electricity bill. Fuck off, woman. Would you? I mean,
pay the electricity.
Huh? Giving money to the grandkids. I'd rather give it to the dog. I have young grandkids now, and they'd be walking around playing Xbox and Tamagotchi and just looking into screens. No value money at all, these young lads nowadays. Tell you, when I was their age, I had four jobs. Right? I was mixing cement for 7 block layers. I was stooking bales and cocking hay. I used to wash bulls' balls for the mart. And in the evening, I was a scarecrow. Anyway, riding on the internet, right? So Kenya's government plans to restrict access to online pornography sites in a bid to reduce pregnancies among school children. Oh. The information minister, Joseph Machuru, said, Machuru. Didn't he have a brother on the Golden and a Carty combo team? He nearly won a county final, Maureen, actually, now. He's Tommy Var. I think that was his brother, Machuru. But he said, anyway, last year...
I
Last year, the Kenyan Health Ministry recorded almost 350,000 pregnancies in the age of 15 to 19.
Wow.
That's a lot of jockeying. Even you wouldn't rack up those numbers. 350,000 teen pregnancies. There'd be some queuing pennies, huh? For the gear. See, the best of boys. They won't wrap up the big bamboo. Wrap it up, boys. Bit of cling film, something, my dear. Jeez. But,
Tato bag.
Yeah, well, whatever they do in Roscrea, I don't know. But. So he's ordered the communication regulator to see how children and teenagers can be blocked from watching porn on the internet. So, do you ever watch it yourself?
No, of course not.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever saw him sweat. Ha? 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 Filth is all it is. Filth. Well, the bit I saw was anyway, but...
Did you just look for a bit of research, no?
Yeah, you know yourself now for a bit. But I suppose I didn't like porter the first time I tried it either, so... And I got to hang it at. Now, bad sausages and worse Guinness. It's not here in Rodairn. Down under, mate, in Melbourne. Now, Melbourne, the city, thinks it's cool. Melbourne is like the Galway of Australia. Think they're cool going on the place. But something that's not cool, getting people's names wrong. Isn't that right, Maureen?
Yes, Joe.
Just ask Peter Brown, right? 57-year-old Melbournean. He was up for sentencing in the Supreme Court. And when the guards brought him up to the stand and the family were in the audience and they said, that's not him at all. That's not the man at all. The guards had brought the wrong Peter Brown.
Oh my God.
To the Supreme Court in Australia. That's Australians, right, huh? Fucking bunch of snake eaters out there, lad. They should never have been let off the boat, that crowd, say that. It's the Brits again for you. Do you know who discovered Australia?
Who?
It was the lad from Peter Pan, wasn't it?
Captain
Hook.
I don't think.
That's a fact. Wasn't that him, Maureen?
I think the Aboriginals were there before him, but I think, well, yeah.
But see, that's it. Like, he landed, I've discovered it. And all the native lads are like, well, I hate to break it to you, but we fucking live here. See, he got off the boat and there was a load of lads lying out in the hot sun and they'd only an old bit of cloth over their lad with their faces painted. He thought he'd found Wexford. So the real Peter Brown, not to be confused with the real Slim Shady, who is, of course, from Temple Derry. Peter Brown, he murdered a woman. Honest to God. Yeah, that's why he was supposed to be up in court. Well, I'm delighted you find it so amusing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. The real Slim Shady, who's actually from Temple.
Oh, sorry, it's the real Slim Shady. I was thinking of. Sorry, he's a cousin of Liam Shady. Of course, two-time manager Tipperary Hurlers. From Port Row, North Tipperary. So, Peter Brown, he murdered this woman until she was dead.
Sorry, you should be laughing.
Stone dead. That's a fact. So, he was in a relationship with this woman, right? And he killed her with a brick and a golf club.
Oh, God.
I know, it's terrible. A golf club to the face, or a massage, as they call it in Limerick. Now, he was on the line talking to a young one from the Philippines. And she said, hey, Peter, you send me over a few pounds and I'll come visit you. And like an absolute genius, he did it. He borrowed money off the girlfriend and he sent it to the young ones in the Philippines. Like, talk about robbing Peter to pay Paul. He was robbing Pauline to pay the Philippines. So... He thought he'd found love on the internet. It turns out he was just a fucking moron. And your one's gone off with all his money now.
Wow.
She's getting an operation to remove her Adam's apple. Free money for talking shit. Huh? Like your comedy show. So that's terrible though. He was going out with Joanne and he took money off her, paid one in the Philippines, and then got into a row when your mom was like, "Hey Peter, where's me money?" So he got sentenced to 30 years in jail.
Good job.
Proper order now.
Yeah.
But the other Peter Brown was just happy to get out of the house for the day. It's unclear why the guards are holding him. So that's Australia. Local news. Just want to let you know, I have Christmas trees for sale. Cash only. Delivery is extra. It's 10 bob within the town. And then after that, it's a pound a mile.
Pound.
I have all sizes available. You must give me at least 1 day's notice and is payment up front. You pay us, we cut the tree. That simple. 25 bob for a handy one, 30 for a big one. You pay us the cash. Next morning, next morning you wake up with a tree in your driveway. I'm like the Tooth Fairy. Except I'm not gay. I love knocking trees. Now, back in my father's time, they didn't know chainsaws, only old axes. They were tough men. I always keep an old saw in the back of the van. Because you know the best time of year to cut a tree? Night time. So I cut a fine tree at home. I cut a tree on the boundary at home place one time. Well, it was 9 foot on the neighbour's side, but like it kind of fell my way, if you know what I mean. So it was a skak bush. Skak. And it was a skak bush, right? Tarny yoke. Black. And I made my own hurley out of it. Out of the skak bush. Well, lads, it was the greatest weapon since Marty Whelan's flute.
Fox.
We were playing the Glenbys one day and I tried out the new hurley. I scored 2 goals with one shot.
How did you manage that though?
That's a fact. So I had to retire it then. But I was always tipping away at trees. And I had a big man to give me a hand. Joe Carty. You know Joe?
Yeah.
Big man from the small cross. The road. I heard with Joe when I first came onto the scene. He was part of the great team of the 70s. They won every match they played for 6 years in a row.
Jesus.
Yeah. Eventually they had to leave Junior B. His nickname was the Famine. Everywhere he went was just pure devastation. I had him hauling trees, and after a day's work he said, "Mommy, go to the chipper." I'd never been to a chipper. So we went into the little chipper out in Clarehan. Do you know that one?
Yeah, yeah.
The man ordered 7,000 battered sausages.
7,000.
That's a man. That's a man. And he wasn't long about evaporating them either. So if you need a tree, you give me a shout, or they can contact you here at the podcast. You have my number. Just ring Johnny Stacks, yeah, and he'll put you right. So if you're tired of your old tree, try out our new trees. They're all the rage out in America. Ash trees for Christmas. They don't shed because they don't have any leaves at this time of year. They're only £14. But the bucket is extra. Because they have the old ash disease. Oh, Casey right. Tipped 70 of them into my driveway the weekend. So they have to be sold or buried in the next week. So there you go. 2 types of ash trees for sale. And they can contact you here at the podcast.
Brilliant stuff.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Noel. Are you going to the Strictly tonight? The second night of the Strictly?
Oh God, I am.
Yeah.
John Leahy was there last night.
He was, yeah.
Yeah. I had a fair few tussles with him back in the day, I tell you that now.
Did you?
Yeah.
God. So that didn't end well.
It's still not over.
You wouldn't dance in the local Strictly and all, no?
If the twine was right.
I think it's for the club, no. No, I don't
think the club? No, I've done enough for the club. What do you ever do for the club? No. No, Johnny Stacks. No.
Brilliant stuff, Noel. Thanks very much.
Right, good luck to you.
She's everyone's favourite mead lady. Maureen, what have you got for us as your mystery topic this week?
Well, lads, I want to discuss something that really, really annoys me. But I'm going to try and get over it. No. You're right. Veganism.
Go on, I suppose.
Okay, so I have two people in my life very close to who I love dearly, but they're vegans, and I can't really listen to them when they go on about veganism, and, you know, I don't really care, and, but then I kind of think, you know, veganism is actually probably important for the environment because so much methane is produced through animal production. So I have some statistics for you about veganism.
Oh, sure, cows, yeah, produce a huge amount of methane.
Mm, yeah. So demand for meat-free food increased by 987% in 2017. And apparently going vegan is the biggest food trend in 2018. This is according to vegansociety.com.
Ah, sure.
Yeah. The vegan trend has quadrupled in 5 years between 2012 and 2017. And it now gets three times more interest than vegetarian and gluten-free searches. So just to explain what veganism is that you don't eat any food product derived from an animal source. So you wouldn't eat eggs, milk, along with not eating anything from a dead animal. So I'm going to try it for a week.
Yeah or not? Oh my God.
I said I'd try it. I said,
said do it.
Yeah. I said I'd try it. I'm like, you know, like, you know, I was like, even I was just thinking, like, tomorrow, what am I going to have for my breakfast? Like, porridge and, but made with water, like, you know, oh God. Oh,
yeah, so you're going to do it from this week?
Tomorrow, coming. Yeah. Okay. And I will report back on next week's podcast. But I'm wondering, would you be able to do it? And would you try it for a day or two and see what you think?
Well, I think, I suppose, the thing that spurs people on to do it is from, like, an ethical point of view, is it? Mm. That they feel it's wrong to farm animals?
I have no problem eating an animal once it had a good life. So I would be, feel, I wouldn't eat...
Battery.
Yeah.
Free range job, like.
Yeah. Any pet lamb we had in our farm, yeah, like, no problem with it ending up in the freezer.
Yeah, you grew up on a farm, so you know the crack.
Yeah, I've gone to that abattoir, the factory, and I remember actually my dad, I might have been 13 or 14, and we brought lambs to the factory, and daddy's like, oh, do you want to come in or do you just want to wait in the Jeep? And I was like, no, I'll wait in the Jeep. And I was like, it'll be fine. Like, it wasn't gonna... And then this forklift went by with a skip of lambs' heads in it.
Oh.
So, but then it toughened me up, and then I still love my lamb chops. So, but like, once the animal has a good life and has been out in a field and has not, you know, gotten plenty of sunlight and, no problem. That, you know, that animal had a good life, and, you know, and more like any killing practices now would be very much trying
humane.
Humane. Yeah.
100%. Could we?
But the aspect that you raised there of ethical reasons, I'm thinking more so veganism for environmental reasons. Because of
okay. Could we be vegans?
Two of us would be big into chicken.
Yeah.
So you've got the chicken breasts, the chicken leg, and the chicken goujon.
Yeah.
The three best parts of the chicken.
Yeah.
Is there a good vegan chicken goujon alternative?
I'll Google it here.
I kind of don't want to know.
Goujon.
I've had tofu.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that now. I've tried that.
Yeah.
It just feels weird in my mouth. Just kind of feels a bit like I'm eating an old bit of rubber or something. It's not. I reckon I could cut out meat.
Mm.
I reckon I could live without meat.
I don't know that.
I'd struggle, I'm sure. But I could live without meat and eat fish instead. Maybe something like that, right? But I don't think I could do the whole vegan thing because no milk.
Like, yeah, but you could get that almond milk and all
that. That's cat lad. You made me a cup of coffee, that one, and threw it out through the window.
Yeah, I tried it there.
It's a bit weird. It's not as good as proper milk.
Like. No, it's not.
But
I just have to say, on the environmental thing, there may come a time
where we'll have to.
Where we'll have to.
Yeah. Like former President Mary Robinson wants us all to go vegan. So. Your eyes just roll so far back in your head. There,
I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what.
It's expensive.
What, going vegan?
Yes.
Just meat is expensive, lad.
Yeah, but I guarantee you go down, lad, to the healthy section. The old, you know.
Oh, it's the pre-made stuff.
But like,
your veg isn't that expensive, like.
Yeah, but the likes of chia seeds and all that kind of stuff, if you're going eating all that, that's fair price, you know. They have their own section in the shop, like.
Wheatgrass and all that.
You're going buying all this stuff, like, that's fair expensive. Like.
Big money, John Boy.
Yeah, big money, John Boy. It's easier just get a fucking chicken fillet, they're 169. Like, do you know what I mean?
You can get corn goujons, I've just checked here. So they're corn goujons are meat free and made with mycoprotein with a crunchy wholemeal breadcrumb coating. Mycoprotein is a nutritious member of the fungi family and is naturally low in fat, less than 3%, and high in protein and fiber. So like, I think they're like
fungi, fungi the dolphin.
I think mushrooms, they mean like,
yeah,
fungi.
Yeah,
I it would be tough. And it, we eat a lot in delis.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have like,
you could get a wrap,
lettuce and peppers and stuff, and no actual meat.
No meat, yeah.
I struggle.
It'll be difficult to get your protein in delis, yeah. No dairy, no whey.
Yeah.
Oh, you'd have to get, if you wanted
to. Is there a vegan whey?
Yeah, there is. There's Sun Warrior. Yeah.
Bet you that's way more expensive than the tub of stuff in Holland and Barrett.
Yeah. It's like, I used to use it because I tried to cut down on dairy. And I think it was like, so the protein powder is normally using, was I think €30 tub, and the equivalent of the Sun Warrior is about 50 quid. And it didn't agree with my system. Like, it's made from pea protein, and that wasn't nice. Like they put loads of artificial vanilla flavouring into it. But nah.
Okay, did you never see that documentary Leonardo DiCaprio made?
Oh, no.
With National Geographic. Hey, I'll just give you one point out of it. He says that everybody has a carbon footprint. Your car, your electricity, your food, all that. He says in that movie, if you cut out beef, you half your carbon footprint.
Wow.
That's a big claim. That's a National Geographic movie saying that. There is beef farmers all over Ireland horsing the radio out the window and I'll listen to me talking. But I'm just pointing out, like, I still eat steaks, but...
Will we try it?
No.
Okay. There's your answer then.
Try it for one day. Will you do that?
Just okay, we'll try one of the days this week, so we'll have a vegan day.
Yeah. Just see if you can make it through. See if you can have a vegan breakfast.
Brilliant.
If you can do a vegan breakfast, do a vegan lunch. I'm going to try it tomorrow and...
I just won't eat for a day.
Like, what's a good source of protein for a vegan breakfast? This is going to take research.
Yeah, so my sister, she has fried tofu for breakfast.
Ah, fuck.
Right. We leave it there, so.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you know if somebody's a vegan?
Yeah.
They tell you.
Brilliant stuff. Look, we will try that during the week.
Okay.
And we want to hear next week how your week of veganism went.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's vegan listeners to the podcast as well. Yeah. So tell us what you eat.
Get in touch. Let us know what your daily meal plan is. Can we try and find out more about this?
Get in
the
ring.
Going all right for the happy pair.
Oh, they're making big money.
Yeah, six packs, the whole lot.
Oh, wicked money.
There's something in the veganism, lads. Trust me. All right, don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast, and use the hashtag #2JohnniesPod. That's the number 2JohnniesPod to get in touch with us and keep spreading the good word of the gospel, according to myself and Johnny B and Maureen.
Don't forget to buy a heap of tickets for the show, lads.
Please buy tickets, lads. We had that initial thing with tickets where it was like, you know, they went on sale and we were buzzing, and then there was kind of, God, I hope people buy these tickets. And they're going really well. Everyone's delighted, so we're delighted too. Thanks for that.
More, I meant to say, last week you sprung the mystery topic of the hall pass on us. And we gave you shit names. Well, you know, came across one for you during the week. Michelle Keegan.
Oh, yeah. She's married to Mark Wright, isn't she?
Yeah, I've got one as well.
Yeah.
Holly Willoughby.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, because...
She's first sexed up that jungle. I like Ant and Dec, like, but...
Yeah,
Christ.
I know, because I'm a Celeb is doing massive ratings, like, and just, like, everybody's like... Yeah, Holly Willoughby. Yeah. She is.
Yeah.
And she's a really good presenter as well. Yeah. So, and
I'll take your word for it.
You haven't seen the presenting skills.
Right.
Much.
Topic number 2, Johnny.
This week, hurling and camogie have been added to UNESCO.
UNESCO?
This week, hurling and camogie have been added to UNESCO's list of protected cultural activities around the world. The games, among the oldest and fastest field sports in the world, were chosen after a lengthy process. UNESCO said in a statement, hurling or camogie is a field game played by two teams, which dates back 2,000 years and features strongly in Irish mythology, most notably in the epic saga of Cú Chulainn. So we've decided to discuss what are the world's greatest sporting events in light of hurling and camogie, yeah?
Yeah, so first off, this UNESCO decision?
Yes.
I think it's great. We were debating, what difference does it actually make?
Yeah, like, it's great. It's recognisable and it's worldwide recognisable. But
do you know what I say? What do UNESCO know about hurling?
Yeah,
they're coming over telling us we're great. Like, the fuck do you know about it?
Yeah, is this going to mean now, like, you know, we'll have a load of
tourists
at games and stuff like
that. Shouldn't that be grand?
It will when Carlow are playing someone in the Christie Ring.
Yeah, put them all down the Canal End.
Yeah. Put them on the hill, lad, in the Dubs game. They won't come back again. But it's great, recognisable. But
yeah, but you're probably eligible for more funding and to promote the game.
Yeah, like there's where I'm from, there's for North Mead, there's very little hurling, like played on a pitch. Like, you know, there might be, you know, hurling, lads baiting with each other with hurlies, but that's not a sport. Like,
yes.
Whereas in South Mead, there's a lot of hurling. So it'd be great to see more money and investment put into clubs.
That's the thing. Like, this would be great if this money filters down.
Boots on the ground.
And yeah, and it's grassroots and it can develop hurling. Like, we're all talking about developing hurling worldwide.
And Camogie.
And Camogie, yes. Developing hurling and Camogie worldwide. It's probably more in our line to be worrying about developing hurling and Camogie in counties where it's not that prominent, as you said, Maura. So let's hope that they do that. But
do you know what always amazes me? I'm going a little bit off topic here, but we meet other counties and they don't play hurling. Mm. And we're like, so you just play football 3 days a week. Why are you not class?
Like, we're down here trying to cope with both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are Tip, Bate and Cavan like in football? Yeah. Like, I'd say, I'm not joking, there's probably not 50 lads in Tipperary playing football seriously.
Really?
And probably 30 of them on the county panel.
Yeah. But it's
now, by define seriously there, like.
I mean, you've got like
properly dedicated.
The top five teams.
Yeah.
The other lads playing football are like Lochmore. They're in a county final every second year in senior football. They're a hurling team who play a bit of football for the crack.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
Mara, are you going to say?
No. I think that it's a lot easier for a hurler to make a transition to be a footballer than a footballer to transition to being a hurler.
Yeah.
So.
UNESCO.
Yes. Back on topic.
See, when if you go abroad, and you're in like Barcelona or somewhere and it says this is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, it's probably like we're looking at. No, Smacks is like, oh, you know what I mean? Is there drinks and strippers? No, Johnny, but like.
Can I be honest? I had no idea what UNESCO was before we decided on this topic.
You've never read like a travel book, Ratton?
Lad, I'm a busy man. If I want to go traveling, I go to Lanzarote and like the Island Bar or.
Is not a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Or Christian's Restaurant isn't UNESCO or. Whatever it is. Kenko, all right, they serve the coffee. That's about the height of it. But, I mean, you think it's important when you're going travelling that, you know, you'll go and visit a site that's...
Yeah, like, I know when ISIS captured a bit of Syria, a lot of people were freaking out. They captured a UNESCO World Heritage Site and they were wrecking it.
Mm.
And people were like, UNESCO is like, you know, Nobel Peace Prize. It's supposed to be like world recognised. This is class. So it's a tip of the cap. Should you have seen the other things they got it, like some dancing in Thailand or something?
Yeah. Time will tell how great this is, you know. The GAF done well, they've packaged it really nicely and I put it out there.
Hurling got this, like, not football.
Yeah.
I feel like the hurling lads organised this on their lunch. They're like, yeah, the UNESCO thing. Then one of the football boys walks in and they're like, oh, yeah, ground hurling, catching the shit. Yeah. Don't tell the footballers about the UNESCO thing.
So in light of this, we say that we discuss some of our best sporting, well, what we think is the best sporting events in the world. Can I kick it off?
Go on, in no particular order, so.
Yeah, no particular order. The Soccer World Cup. I think that is one of the best events in the world. It's crackers, right? And you said earlier on, Johnny, and it was a great point, that it shows how great an event it is, that when Ireland aren't in it, we still all watch it. We're still all interested in. Viewing figures are high. You know, everyone's on a kind of World Cup fever buzz. And when Ireland are in it, sure, it's changed the landscape of this country, really. That World Cup in 1990 brought the boom, the whole lot. Everyone was drinking Guinness and
Italian 90 is probably up there with, you know, 1916 rising.
Yeah. Packy Bonner, lad, I tell you, there's no difference between him and Michael Collins.
Yeah.
They're both heroes. But that's the thing, it takes over the whole country, particularly when Ireland are in it. You've got the World Cup songs, everybody's going crazy, there's days off school, you're going around with foam fingers and inflatable green, white and gold hammers, which to me never made any sense. We're in the World Cup final. Let's get inflatable hammers.
Getting hammered.
Yeah.
Well, I actually can't wait for I don't like soccer, but I can't wait for the Qatar World Cup, because you're just going to see lads, you know, like, are lads actually going to be able to last 90 minutes on the
lads
pitch, like,
sunburned to death.
Yeah. It's going to be like the Hunger Games. Lads just sweating.
I've got an issue with that. Like, what? Like, Qatar is a crazy place to have a sporting tournament outside. Let's be honest. Like,
What's actually brilliant is they said in Qatar, we've put air conditioning, like, there'll be air conditioning on the field. Like, it's going to be a fella running after Gareth Bale down the wing with a big air conditioning unit over his head, like, or what's going to happen? It's
be crazy. All roofed stadiums.
Lads trying to kick a ball and then the air conditioning blowing.
Yeah. Take a shot from the halfway line. Make sure and get a bit of pace in it. The air conditioning will help it on.
Yeah.
Crazy, like. But yeah, the World Cup, definitely a top event for me.
And truly a world event.
Yes.
In that, like, you'd have Argentina playing Australia and people in Ireland will sit down to watch it, having no connection to either team.
So I think that's got to be up there as one of the events, Johnny.
No, we've never been to the World Cup, obviously. The only thing about things like that is they're going to be mad expensive.
It's going to cost to get to Qatar.
And held in places that are not fan-friendly.
Yeah.
Do you know, really, like, if you wanted to have a fan-friendly World Cup, you'd be having it in Asia or Europe, like.
Mm. Yeah, I probably agree.
Like, the Olympics is in Rio, and they're all talking about the security risks they had to go through. Athletes getting mugged and stuff. Like,
why didn't they just have it somewhere fucking handy?
See, they think it's a
Mosny.
Sure, you know what Mosny is now, lad. Okay. You're probably giving a boost to the local economy.
Yeah.
But like, I was in Australia and the Olympic Village is there, like.
Yeah.
And I was in Barcelona and they have the Olympic Village and they're in the whole pile going under now.
Yeah.
Same with Qatar, they're going to have a heap of stadiums left over. So the Olympics is the next one.
Yes.
It's class. It's going on with a long time.
Yes, it's got a bit of history, like.
Zeus and the boys. But the only thing about the Olympics is that, do you know, the World Cup final is on. We're all like, maybe we'll go to the pub, watch the World Cup final, we'll all sit down. Nobody's like, I'm going to take the day off work now. The javelin is on.
Going home watching the shot put.
Yeah, you're in the pub going, shh, whish, 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 the shot put is on.
Yeah.
Do you know?
That's the thing with the Olympics, it's over fair quick. Like, you sit down and you're like, I must watch the 100 metres final.
I know.
It's over in 9 seconds.
But then, you know, like,
just like Johnny
a lot
Smacks.
Of things.
I love watching gymnastics. Like, or you know, there's some like random sports in the Olympics and like you sit down and at the beginning you're not really sure what's going on, but 5 minutes into it you're suddenly an expert and you're like,
yeah.
100%. I think that's why the Olympics is so enjoyable. There's such a vast array of sports that you can like, you can get your teeth into anything. Like, you'll be watching a fella row and then you'll be watching the girl throwing a ribbon around doing somersaults and shit. Like,
we did a video with Natalia Coyle, who's a pentathlete.
Yeah.
Five sports rolled into one.
Yeah.
Fencing, shooting, the whole lot.
Yeah. It's unreal, yeah. And she's fit as a fiddle, like the work she does as well. It's crazy. Like, but that's the thing with the Olympics, the joys you can watch at, and table tennis, the whole lot. It's all there.
It's a collection of individuals. I don't think it unites a country like a team sport. Like the O'Donovans now, like they've changed to face the Olympics in Ireland. Like before them, you need a star in every Olympics.
We had a couple of boxers.
Yeah,
they were stars too. Yeah, they were like
Michael Crute's still on television.
Yeah, and I don't think the boxing is actually going to be in the 2020 Olympics.
What?
Yeah, because
so wasn't it ranked the last time?
Yeah, like basically, there's views that AIBA is very corrupt. And your man who is now the current head AIBA, I think, like, he is seriously corrupt. Like, he's
Cowboys, Ted. Cowboys.
Yeah. But, and I can say that and it's not libeling because there's articles. Yes, you Google head IBA.
Michael Conlon got absolutely robbed there. Yeah. The last time as well. So, yeah, you're as well often throw it out if they're acting maggot.
Yeah, but it's weird having an Olympic sport that there's like a professional version of it down the road.
Yeah. It's a bit crazy in that regard. Best thing about the Olympics, opening ceremonies.
Yeah.
Barcelona. That's magic.
Freddie Mercury singing away, Happy Hour.
That's still iconic now. London 2012, Daniel Craig jumping off an airplane. What about that, lads?
That was some opening. Directed by Danny Boyle. So.
Yeah. See the soccer World Cup opening.
Just Robbie Williams sticking his fingers up to the camera.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Not the same thing.
No, not the same thing. I think that's why the Olympics has got to be up there as one of the top events, purely on the razzmatazz of the opening ceremonies.
I wish it kind of had a grand final of some sort. Do you know, like, the two countries who have the most medals should, like, go head-to-head in some sort of battle so that there was, like, an Olympics final.
A winner.
Yeah. Like, the World Cup has all the group games and, you know, like, Uruguay are playing Honduras during the day and you can watch it or not, like.
Yeah.
But they have a final. So the Olympics doesn't kind of culminate in that.
Fair enough. So, individually, it does. Yeah. Great. Another sporting event, lads. I don't know if it's a great event, but it is certainly an event. It's the Super Bowl.
This is the one that I was like, I knew you were going to mention it, and I was like, nah, you're wrong, sorry.
You're not feeling the Super Bowl?
more people watch the advertisements at the halftime of Super Bowl than they do the actual Super Bowl.
That's America.
Yeah, as a show, I think the Super Bowl is great. Like, the actual game itself, sure, that's only like a side part. Like, you know, more people are probably there to see Katy Perry sing fucking fireworks at halftime or something.
Janet Jackson's nipple.
Yeah, Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Some big performances.
I don't know who won that game.
Beyonce as well. Like,
Lady Gaga, yeah.
That is the thing, but I think it's everything that goes with the Super Bowl. It's like the tailgating and the whole lot and the days leading up to it and the Hall of Fame and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, Maura, we talked about the Olympics and the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
So surely, like, that's just a spice.
Yeah, but the sports in the Olympics is actually... I don't know, I just... You're an American football fan. Yeah. I really liked that program on Netflix that you put me on to, Last Chance You.
Yeah.
I really liked it, but I liked the people stories, but the actual bits where they're playing football, I was like...
You're switching off.
Yeah, I was like, might just zip on a little bit here.
Somebody catch it and kick it over the bar.
Yeah, no, I just had to give a mention to the Super Bowl. That whole, the razzmatazz of that. But, like, we know ourselves from being at events in America. We went to the Fenway Hurling in Boston. And, like, Johnny, you made a great point to me that, like, if you're in Croke Park...
We go to a lot of games in Croke Park, like 10 or 20 a year. If you want to go to Jack's, wait till 5 minutes into the second half. You can nip down. There'll be a ghost town. Nobody will be down there. I tried the same trick in Fenway Park. There must have been 200 lads queuing for pretzels. I was like, boys, there's a game going on outside. The Americans didn't care.
They'd literally just go to events, I think.
For the atmosphere.
For the day out, yeah.
Yeah, I know when I was in Chicago, everybody's like, oh, you have to go to a Red Sox baseball game. It's like, no, I don't, because all people do is sit in the stands and drink beer, and it's very expensive to pay in the game. So I was like, no.
It was like $13 for a bottle at the Fenway, York. So you'll certainly be paying. Other events, John?
Well, they're kind of the three
main ones, yeah.
Main ones. I think they're the three biggest events in the world. It's terrible to say that the Super Bowl...
Maybe the Rugby World Cup will come and it'll be a big event, but I think the thing with the rugby is, like, when the Soccer World Cup's on, it's days off, it's everybody's going out, the whole lot. The Rugby World Cup, I don't think, captures us. And plus,
I was in New Zealand for the 2011 Rugby World Cup, and it was amazing because you had all the young Irish, the lads that were in Australia went over to New Zealand for the weekend or whatever for the games, and it was unreal atmosphere.
I'd love to go to the Rugby World Cup, and I hope it does capture the imagination of the nation the same way that the soccer has. But I think the thing is, with the soccer, we kind of know we're shite.
Yeah.
You know, so we go there and say, we better party now straight away because, you know, we're going to be out in a week, so make the most of it. Whereas with the rugby now, we'll be going in with expectations.
Yeah, pressure. I'm in a WhatsApp group with three male friends, like, and after we won against New Zealand, there was just like 40 messages back and forth between the lads arguing about, oh, this is actually really bad winning against New Zealand because the favourites tag doesn't suit the Irish. Yeah.
We're good underdogs.
In soccer, we like to give it a lash.
Should be the Ireland flag, green, white and gold, and give it a lash on it.
Yeah, it should be our new emblem. But the Rugby World Cup only really involves, like, what is it?
I think 16 nations.
Yeah, but it's really only like 8. Do you know, Namibia are only there for the crack. They're not going to debate anyone, like.
They're only there for the crack. Brilliant stuff. Johnny, any other sporting event you want to give a nod to? Wimbledon, lads. The tennis. I'd love to go to Wimbledon. I love it. It's a great time of the year. Summer's here. And I remember as a young lad, as soon as Wimbledon come on, you were out drawing the lines on the road, getting an old racket, some old wooden yoke, and baiting the ball up and down, thinking you're a Pete Sampras.
Yeah, but why do people watch Wimbledon? Like, why don't they watch the French Open or Wimbledon?
I think it's more exciting watching tennis on a grass court.
Yeah, and the tradition of Wimbledon as well, and it's also like, it used to be on RT, I know it's on TG Cahir now. And like, it's on BBC. It's probably more accessible than Roland Garros, you know what I mean? So Wimbledon's a big one, lads. Irish people get into Wimbledon big time.
You said you were mad to go to Wimbledon.
I'd love to go there, just sit down, drink Pims with a bunch of plonkers and put me suit on. Be great crack. You see David Beckham, the whole lot. Like, I just sit down with Beckham, mop a few bottles by, watch a bit of tennis, bit of crack.
What about golf?
Oh god, no.
No, like,
going to the golf.
The Ryder Cup. At least there's a team in that.
Someone to follow.
The Ryder Cup, the crowds are way more vocal than regular, like the Masters and all.
I would think golf is better to watch on the TV than actually go along to an event, I would think. Because I do like watching some of the golf coverage. The Ryder Cup. There's another one. What's the...
Oh, it's the Open, the US Open.
Yes,
is it?
Yeah,
or the,
yeah,
Augusta,
yeah.
Master.
Augusta, yes, Master. Yeah, yeah, that's class.
The course, it looks lovely on the camera and stuff. Plus, if you're at a golf event, that ball's going fair fast. There's no way if you're in the crowd, you're like, oh yeah, there it is, flying through the air at 200 miles an hour. I can see that.
It's like being at a hurling match and being sat at the 13 and the cornerback catches the ball and drives you like, oh, great shot. And then you don't know where it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I want to see it. I catch it and stick it over the bar. I don't want to watch the puck out and then the ball disappears from me.
Yeah.
You have to walk half an hour to get to the 65.
That's the thing. I said the golf is a lot like that.
But our mate Connor Moore, Connor Sketches.
Yeah.
He goes to the golf events and says they're savage crack.
Okay.
So we might give the old golf a go, lad.
Yeah. A couple of other mental ones I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
We were debating this, whether it is a sport or not. Is the bull run in Pamplona?
It's not sport.
What
it's
is it?
Sport. That's
cultural,
not a sport.
It's how a cultural event.
Go on, Mara, boy.
Yeah, but people compete in it.
Lad, people compete at cards as well.
Yeah. How do people compete? Like, the bull always ends up dead and, you know...
There's 7 or 8 lads in A&E.
Yeah, it's like, do you win if you just manage to outrun a bull
is
and
there a finish line?
Off?
Yeah.
So whoever gets across the finish line first. It's like... It's like a marathon with a bull chase.
I got chased by bullocks plenty of time. It's not a sport.
Okay, the big race meetings, Grand National, Aintree.
No, Cheltenham. Cheltenham around St. Patrick's Day.
They are big events.
Yeah, but what makes one better than the other?
I think it's the fact that so many Irish people go over to Cheltenham for that. And it's always like you have all the great Irish national hunt horses against all the great English national hunt horses. And
that's why and Cheltenham's good.
Yeah, and like it's going over and beating the British in their backyard. And
I'm going to say it is the Super Bowl effect again. Like, to me, most horse races look the same. Okay? So,
no.
I know, I follow horse racing a little bit. I get it. But like, from a spectator point of view, it's the crack that makes these big race meetings better. Like, if you took if you took that exact race, those exact horses at Cheltenham, and put it on in Clonmel, you know what I mean? What I'm saying, if you put Typical Kenny and put it on in Clamel, it'd still be great.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
It's the build, it's all the crack around it.
So much history associated with Cheltenham, and then like getting a horse produced for Cheltenham and the like the breeding, the tactics, you know, the planning that would go into, like, you know, a jockey would have a race plan and sure, then the horse might trip going over the second fence and suddenly you're trying to have to you know. I would think my adrenaline would always be up watching a horse race.
But it's a real holy grail for fans of horse racing.
Yeah.
I'm loving your thoughts on horse racing though, Johnny.
Like, why did we even have jockeys now? Let the horses off. Like, dogs don't have jockeys. Just hoosh the horses and like, you know what I mean? The best horse win.
Run for your lives.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm not saying it could be the main event, but it could be an opening event.
Another event I love to go to is the snooker in the Crucible.
Ah, lad.
I love snooker. And I sit down and watch it for hours, And I remember I went to see Jimmy White in Mitchellstown. And then that's why I decided I wouldn't go to the Crucible. I thought Jimmy White was this great character. I'd read his book. He was wild.
Won loads of...
Yeah, and I thought he'd come out and do a lot of fucking trick shots and stuff. He came out and played 5 frames against Ronnie O'Sullivan. Two of them fucked off.
Didn't say a word.
50 quid for a ticket.
Huh?
Some carry on. But snooker, I guess I would like to go to Crucible just to experience it. Maybe a World Snooker Final or something like that. And the darts. The darts in Alexandra Palace. That to be on at Christmas, the World Darts Championship. Lads.
That's for atmosphere and for the session.
Well, you're not going to see, like...
Great quality darts, mate.
Yeah, you're probably going dressed up as a fucking potato or something.
Yeah.
Going around the place just getting hours. But
Like a freak.
But I think the darts has got to be up there because of the atmosphere. So if you're talking atmosphere, look at the darts. It's fabulous.
I have to commend the darts on how they turn themselves around.
It used to be just fat lads smoking fags throwing darts. And now it's like...
Fat lads smoking fags throwing darts with a massive crowd around them. No, you can't smoke anymore.
Can't smoke anymore. Yeah.
Couple other mental ones I wanted to mention. One crazy one I wanted to mention is the 24-hour car racing in France. I heard about this. It's supposed to be one of the greatest ones. They call it the 24 hours of Le Mans.
Right.
46 cars start the race 24 hours later.
I'm guessing they drive like somewhere far away. Like, you know, this isn't a track. Like,
well, I think it's a track.
24 hours, you'd be bored off your head.
The 24 hours led you get from France to fucking Africa.
I never get the car racing thing. I went to a rally once. Oh my God, you stand on a corner or whatever. You stand somewhere and like a car zings past once every 20 minutes. Like,
yeah.
Oh, get out of town, will you? It's just driving. Like, just, like they should have car racing where it's like, no, drive and obey the rules. Stop at lights. Put on your indicator. That'd be a competition. That's harder than driving flat out. Driving flat out's easy, but...
Oh, he's unlucky. Stuck behind a granny. I see she's pulling into Spa.
Now that would be a top sporting event.
Yeah, oh, no indicator. That'll cost him.
Brilliant stuff. We leave it there, like...
Yeah, but car racing again, yeah. Looks mental.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really, Wayne is big into it. Watches all the Formula One, follows all the teams, not like...
Formula One's in Abu Dhabi, like, and all I seen was pictures of girls in bikinis. I see a fucking car.
It's class.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but again, there's a huge hullabaloo around it if you're into cars and all. So the racetrack is there, and then beside it, there's a load of interactive activities if you go to Formula One. You're not just in the stand like, the, you know, what's the demolition derby in Rose Green they have here? Like, did you ever see that?
That's
Yeah, Rocks had a car in it there. Yeah, Maura, favourite sporting event you've ever been to yourself?
Oh, favourite sporting, probably the 96 All-Ireland final where Meath beat Mayo was my first All-Ireland final, so it's brilliant.
That brings us on nicely
to
our greatest sporting event in the world, All-Ireland final day.
Yeah.
There's nothing better. Mm. Nothing better. If you were to push me whether I was going to say hurling or football, I'd obviously maybe go for hurling.
And that's not just because we're kind of hurling fans, right? At the moment now, Dublin have a bit in... of a monopoly. We went to the football final this year as neutrals, and you kind of knew the Dubs were going to do it, and there wasn't that crazy excitement. If you have like Mayo versus like Meath in a final, this is like, oh my god, who knows when we'll be here again.
It's like the hurling kind of like, you know,
Limerick got there this year. There was like 90,000 people came to the Limerick homecoming. The excitement. We were there as neutrals and we're delighted. We were very lucky to get tickets. It was incredible.
It shows how good a sporting event is that you almost burst into tears before it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
As neutrals.
Yeah. As neutrals at that All-Ireland hurling final, I actually felt myself welling up. I was like, wow, this is like special. There's something special going on here. Mm. And when Limerick won and they played the Cranberry song, it was just like, wow, this is mental. I'm so glad I'm here at this, like to witness it firsthand. So it's definitely the best sporting event in the world.
And the game itself is, I think, what sets it apart from Super Bowls and from darts and from all these other things.
Yeah. The game itself is what we all talk about afterwards. You know what I mean?
It's so unpredictable. It's just wild.
Yeah.
That's just hurling in that big cauldron at Croke Park. When you walk up the steps out into the stadium, the noise, you feel like you could actually pull the noise apart like curtains. It's just atmosphere comes at you.
It's something special on that day. And as we said with the Super Bowl or whatever, like all this razzmatazz, people are talking. Did you see Beyonce at Super, like, they're talking about the game, the All-Ireland final, like, you know what I mean? And everything that goes with it.
If Beyonce went streaking at the All-Ireland,
it'd be a bit of crack.
I would get out of it. Beyonce would get out of it. Like.
So All-Ireland final day, lad, definitely the
I know best. We're biased, but hey, it's our podcast.
Are the three of us in agreement there?
Yeah.
There you go. Perfect way to end it. Lads, get in touch and let us know what you think the greatest sporting event is. Let us know if we missed out at, and I'm sure you'll be giving us abuse on social media telling us what we missed out on.
No, Johnny.
Great stuff. Okay, we're going to round up the podcast as we normally do with our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt
and dirt.
Dirt.
All right, my yurt of the week is our local Strictly.
Yeah.
It's so enjoyable. Like, we hosted it and we just love it so much. It's brilliant. I love that community spirit, like, that comes with it. And it's such a good event. I'm sure people have done it all over the country and whatever and wherever you're doing it, but it's great to get like local people together who would normally never, you know, meet in the same social circles and get them all in there and make them dance. There's fellas dancing there. They haven't even like, there's a couple of boys dancing now who play on the senior football team. And I swear to God, if they tap their toe in a nightclub, I'd say it's probably the most dancing they've ever done. And there they are in glittery shirts and fucking hats and the whole lot.
One person told me it was a life-changing experience.
Yeah.
With absolute sincerity.
Yeah.
It really takes people out of their shell.
Yeah, if you've led a very sheltered life, I'm sure it does. Like, but you take it and do more with your life.
You work in a creative zone, as do we.
Mm. Mm.
These are people who are up every day. They're 9 to 5 and or they're farming or they're, you know, minding 7 kids, whatever. Yeah. This is a chance to fly, like, for those people.
Yeah. They're all going to be fair depressed now when it ends.
Yeah.
You know,
all my friends who've done Strictly say that. Yeah. Mm. It's like, you miss the crack, and you end up going, like, you end up 6 months later organizing a night out with strictly people. Yeah. So
100%. So that's my year to the week.
My year to the week, similar. We landed on Mars. Not us personally, but like, there was a Mars landing.
Oh yeah,
did you not hear about that?
Nah, man.
I was busy with the toy show.
Yeah, I was looking up pictures from the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix on Instagram.
The Americans and all the boys had a robot land on Mars and send back photos, live footage, like, of Mars. Now, the one thing that annoyed me is, like, the robot didn't have a windscreen wiper. There's bits of dirt all over the screen. Now, when I say we landed on Mars, it's not obviously the two Johnnies.
You mean mankind, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like when you're in the pub and some fella's like, oh, you know, we won the All-Ireland. It's like, it wasn't actually you, personally. You know, with, like, tobacco growing out your ears. You didn't actually win the All-Ireland. Your county did. So, I don't know why we went to Mars. It's not doing much for anyone. But no. It's a bit of crack. Do you know what I mean? If aliens ever land, we can be like, oh, well, you know, we've been
Have
around.
Have you seen the Matt Damon film?
The Martian?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh, it's very good.
Johnny doesn't watch that in make-believe.
No.
But no.
No, mom. If it's make-believe, you don't watch.
But it's based on actual science. So it could hypothetically happen. Like, the guy who wrote the book that the film is based on, he, like, consulted with, like...
But there could be a Captain America as well, Mara. You know.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You know, it could happen.
They think the Martian could actually, like, the physics, just watch it, okay? You'll really like it.
I'll have a look.
If he don't watch it unless
I watch Coach Carter, okay?
Yeah, so. And that was a good recommendation.
Based on a true story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That shit happened. Matt Damon won't be going into Mars anytime soon, lads, I'd say. Johnny, you're dirt of the week.
I went to the gym this week and I sat down on the rowing machine, and when I looked up in front of me, do you know the stairs, Yorks?
Yeah.
You can just, like, climb stairs. I don't understand these. Like, houses have stairs if you want to climb stairs. And there was a lad on the stair machine, and I know he was Eastern European, and I know it because he was wearing what can only be described as yoga pants.
Tights, like.
Bright silver shiny yoga pants with black stars on them, and they were implausibly tight. Do you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where Ned Flanders come out in the skiing gear? That's what he was like. They looked like the yokes that you'd wear training in January, and you'd put shorts over them.
Oh yeah, the skins.
Skins. Mm. They were like skins, and he's wearing them around it. And I was the bit distracted. Now, like, when girls wear them, I'm like, oh, great, but just a bit much. But, like, I don't know, I can't handle the Polish lad wearing it around in front of me.
Unreal.
I know the boys in the gym listen to it, so they're going to know exactly who he is now. So,
right, my dirt of the week is Black Friday.
Yes. Quick.
You heap of shite, lads. Just sick of it. Gimmick. We're starting to turn into America.
It's handy, though, if you want to flag off a load of stuff before Christmas. No?
I don't know, I don't really get it.
Well, I broke my brother's Bluetooth speaker and I bought him another one and saved €100 in the Black Friday sales.
Did you tell him you broke it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to replace it. I was like, oh, you just told him there now. Yeah, Black Friday, don't like it, don't enjoy it. See the videos from America, like, they all fighting over televisions and stuff. Crazy stuff. What happened in Ireland, lads?
I actually don't think that the retailers in Ireland got much of a pickup on Black Friday. I don't think there is this big, crazy, mad cash spend.
Just a gimmick again by the Yanks.
Cyber Monday,
Johnny, yeah.
It's the new thing now. Pancake Tuesday. So, that's your dirt of the week. Okay.
All right, so that's it for this week. We're going to leave you with a tune from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Good luck.
Hardly anyone had a telly. It was a different kind of world. Heaven was a game of football before I ever kissed a girl.
Used to go out driving, we traveled near and far, nearly every Sunday in me father's old Ford car.
And he'd be pointing out the landmarks everywhere we'd go.
Through the twisting, turning, winding roads, of Galway and Mayo.
Mother in the front seat, children in the back. We'd be imagining Indians in the field waiting to attack.
And we'd be asking, are we nearly there?
Daddy!
Wearing clothes that came in a parcel from America, the two of us the same.
And we'd be pointing out the landmarks everywhere we'd go.
Through the twisting, turning, winding roads of Galway and Mayo.
Lovely. There's a stillness in the summer air, a sheepdog lying in the sun.
Three young girls with butterfly nets waiting on a run.
Now the time flies by as always, and I've got my own by now. Like cowboys in the old K30, we go and drive around.
Land was let go lately, but I take him out that way. I show him where we cut the turf and where we save the hay.
And I'd be pinting out the landmarks.
Drive it on, Davy.
Everywhere we'd go.
Through the twisting, turning, winding roads of Galway and Mayo. One full Leo Morin on it. Twisting, turning, winding roads of Galway and Mayo.
That is, of course, the Saw Doctors. Drive it on!
Drive it
on!
Drive it! Drive it!
Woo! Good luck!